Snoring is common, but it's not always harmless. Many people don't realize that symptoms like daytime fatigue, waking up with headaches, brain fog, dry mouth, or consistently needing naps may actually be signs of obstructive sleep apnea. And even after diagnosis, one of the biggest challenges is learning how to consistently use CPAP, especially while traveling. In today's episode, I'm joined by Dr. Carlira Weiss, sleep scientist, nurse, educator, and Aeroflow Sleep's sleep science advisor. Together, we talk about sleep apnea symptoms, why CPAP treatment matters, common struggles patients face, and practical tips for traveling with a CPAP machine without disrupting your sleep health. I'm your host, Dr. Li Shan. Let's dive deep into sleep. Hi, Dr. Weiss. Welcome to Deep Into a Sleep Podcast.
Hi, Dr. Shu. So good to be back here. Good to talk to you again. And congratulations for more than 200 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Well, it has been several years since I interviewed last time. And I think there's some more exciting, important topic we all should learn from you. So I know we're going to talk about CPAP and travel today, and that's so important.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again. And this is an important topic that sometimes people forget about the CPAP when they're traveling. So it's good to set a reminder and provide information about why this is important.
So let's start with first symptoms, because recently, before we talk about traveling and CPAP, that's treatment. First, if people snore, does that mean they necessarily have sleep apnea that they should check it out?
That's a great question. It's a great starting point too, because not everybody that snores has obstructive sleep apnea. So for those people who snores and have a very specific characteristics, for example, if they snore loud and it's very inconsistent how they snore, right? So they stop to gasp for air, they have stop in breathing during the night when they're snoring. So having this type of characteristics, it's an indication that they may have obstructive sleep apnea. Another important symptom that it's a red flag that you should check with your primary care provider and ask for a sleep study to investigate obstructive sleep apnea is how you wake up in the morning. So you snore for the night, you have that interruption in the breathing, and you also have waking up with a dry mouth or a headache, feeling extremely fatigued during the day, have severe daytime sleepiness. Those are indications that that snoring during the night is not the simple snoring. That might be something else happening, and that is a good idea to ask your primary care provider for a sleep study and go see a sleep specialist.
Yes, I think that's very important to lay out all those symptoms you can check off yourself, right? I think that touch on another similar topic is if you don't snore, does that mean you're just absolutely healthy? I think like what you, Dr. Weiss, you just said, we should go back to the checklist to say, do you experience those during sleep after you wake up? And then use that to really help yourself understand, is there any warning signs in the picture? Or should I be concerned? Should I go to a doctor?
Absolutely. Especially, I would say this for women too. Like sometimes women that have obstructive sleep apnea will not necessarily snore, but they will have those daytime symptoms. So they will notice in those symptoms when they wake up in the morning throughout the day. And that is an indication to check for is underlying sleep disease. Same thing for people who are not overweight. There is this misconception that only people who are overweight will have obstructive sleep apnea. And that's not necessarily true. So if you have those daytime symptoms, you should be checking with your primary care and a sleep specialist.
Yeah. So we should all be aware of how we are feeling, how our body is experiencing things. So let's say someone, they notice symptoms, they go to get a sleep study, either in-lab sleep study or at home sleep study. And if they're diagnosed, what are the common treatment available right now?
So the gold standard treatment for obstructive sleep apnea is the CPAP machine, right? So thinking about the pathophysiology of obstructive sleep apnea is that the airways collapse during sleep. So there is less airflow coming into the upper airways, the lungs and the heart and the brain during sleep. So the body promotes wakefulness multiple times during the night to make sure that that airways stay open. So the standard treatment is CPAP, that is continuous airway, positive airway therapy that is going to bring air and keep the airways open during sleep. So that's the standard treatment. There are other alternatives available, and the science has evolved so much in this area that we see multiple devices being under investigation, and I'm sure that the FDA is going to approve new options. But most of the cases, the CPAP is still the best option. So that's positive airway, just bringing air to keep the airways open through the night. And it seems so simple, right? Because it's a mm-hmm. it's a air as therapy mm-hmm. and has tremendous impact in health. Because if you're breathing well during sleep, it means that lung, heart, brain, all the other systems are benefiting from it. And then sleep is so powerful to maintain health, and especially cardiovascular health for those people with obstructive sleep apnea and also wearing the CPAP.
Right. So that's so important. And let's just sort out the process, the steps for people who are listening and watching. So if we identify some symptoms we are concerned, or some symptoms match what you just described, the best approach is maybe go to your primary care doctor to be referred to a sleep specialist, check things out further, and they may prescribe sleep study to us, and we check that out. Based on the data, we will be diagnosed whether it's mild, moderate, or severe sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea. And then the doctor is going to talk about treatment plans, right? And sounds like the most classic treatment right now is CPAP machine. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Great. Yes. Then talk about CPAP machine. Since my audience possibly know, I have family members who really hate CPAP, but they really need to use CPAP. So that's such a painful topic every time I think about it. On one hand, from my professional knowledge and what you talk about, I understand it's important. But on the other hand, I see so many people, including my own family members, they just cannot tolerate it. They don't like to use it.
Yes, and I will include my family members on the same group as yours, because despite all the information that I share with them, explain the benefits and also the perceived benefits that they have once they start wearing regular compliance, it is difficult to use, especially thinking about continuous using, right? Sometimes people think that they use for a short period of the time and then the symptoms will disappear, but the symptoms do come back if they stop using. So this compliance to the CPAP, I think, is something difficult for most people that have a prescription to use it. And what we try to do to facilitate that is offer different levels of support. For example, one type of support is making sure that you have the right titration. So you start wearing your CPAP at home and you notice that the air pressure is too low or too high, for example, then you can communicate with your provider to make adjustments for that. Other levels of support are having different types of masks or gears that can be more comfortable and facilitate using. You can try different types of cushions on your tubing too, so it makes more comfortable for using. Different types of pillows or sleeping position adjustments. Those things are all types of alternatives to facilitate using the CPAP and increase the compliance to achieve the health benefits that we want to see with using it.
Great to know there's a lot of adjustment you can do around CPAP fitting, the mask fitting, and to help tolerate the CPAP machine. And I also know have family members' support in the process can be helpful too. So sometimes as sleep psychologists, when we meet patients, we try to involve their family members. Let's make plans together. Let's do psychoeducation together. And it's interesting. It reminds me a lot of patients actually coming in to treat or diagnose for sleep apnea actually are pushed into treatment by the family member. They don't think they have a problem. Family members think they have a problem.
That's so true, especially with people that share the same bed or the same sleep environment. Sometimes they come in to the appointment and I ask if they snore, they say no, but the partner will tell that they do snore. And that, or if I ask sometimes, do you choke, gasp for air, or cough during sleep, and they say no, but then the partner will say they do.
Yes, and that's why sometimes if there's any app, you know, can help record it, they listen to it, they may hopefully realize how severe that could be. And think about if you're choking a lot, if you cannot breathe, you stop breathing constantly throughout the night. That sounds very risky for the whole body system, how struggle your body gonna have to feel.
Yes, and it does sometimes using those devices to record the snoring and the struggling for air, it's somewhat scary and push the patients to really seek treatment, and then has an improvement to their health, and also their partners start sleeping better too.
Yeah. And then I'm wondering, what are some benefits you noticed patients reporting after using CPAP? My own experience with my own family member is once they start using CPAP machine, even for several days, very obviously, they reduce the frequency to go to restroom in the middle of the night. It's just so significant, so obvious. And the effects may even lingering for some time after they stop using CPAP machine. So I think that's amazing. And that help the sleep to be more consolidated, right?
Yes, those effects are very important. It means that your metabolism is working better because you're mm-hmm. sleeping better. You have less fragmentation in your sleep. Another thing that I see often as a report from the patients is the energy level that they have mm-hmm. during the day. So I notice, especially for people 65 and older, one of the reports say, I have so much energy during the day now. I don't need to take a nap during the day. I feel refreshed when I wake up. Also, I notice as a report from the patients, the memory, right? They notice that they can remember things and they just feel happy about that, because it's definitely a concern as we get older to have some cognitive impairment. So when they feel energized and they notice that they have more memory, it's something so relevant to them that increases their likelihood of riding the CPAP machine.
Yeah, hopefully whoever listening and watching get encouraged by this. I think it's so important to feel like you can sleep better and you feel more energetic during the day and maybe need less nap time during the day. And that can impact our quality of life a lot during the daytime.
Yes, and think about how well we want to be to be able to manage the daily life, like to function well to manage the daily life, and also have that additional benefit to know that you are protecting your health just by one simple action of sleeping better, right? So you can have a healthy life now, but you're also banking that health for later on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, so important. And then that comes the question, how often we're supposed to use CPAP machine. Of course, I know doctors want people to use it every day. Then what if people have to travel? Do you just take it to the hotel room?
Ideally, yes. I joke with the patients here that the CPAP machine does not take vacation. It should work all the time. So you are on vacation, but the CPAP, you're not going to take vacation. You're going to travel with you wherever you go. So ideally, you should continue using your CPAP during the travel. I give two additional suggestions to people considering that they will go on a vacation. Usually when you go on a vacation, your sleep schedule change, right? So sometimes you go to bed later or you wake up later. That change in the sleep schedule affects sleep. So you're more likely to have symptoms of OSA. So important to bring your CPAP and continue using it. Another thing that happens during vacation is sometimes consuming alcohol. So you have a wine with dinner, and having alcohol decreases the muscle tone, right? So you're more likely to have your muscles relax more in a different way. So you're going to have more obstruction on the upper airways. So another important reason to take your CPAP if you go on vacation. So again, ideally you bring your CPAP with you. The airway regulations in the United States recommend that you can bring your CPAP as a medical device. So you don't need to check the CPAP and it's not gonna count as an additional carry-on item. You can bring that as an its own separate bag. Sometimes we say, you can even put on a clear bag to make sure that when you go for security, they know what you're bringing.
So I think that's really good point, because I read some papers. I do notice from my own family member, yes, if you drink, right, it somehow makes the breathing problem worse when you are sleeping. And when we do business trip, or have fun when we have a vacation, we won't have a sip of wine or something. So just be careful. I think that's so important. And it's good to know that you actually can carry this machine with you. The first time I know you actually could travel with CPAP machine was when, long time ago, I went traveling with a girlfriend. We shared a hotel room. And then when we arrived, she pulled out her CPAP machine and start using it during sleep. I was like, wow, this is such a big thing. You can carry it to the airplane. Are you able to go through the security check? So that's something interesting. So I want to ask you about, seems like we could, but do we need a smaller version of the machine, or what are some practical things we should know about if we have to travel with the CPAP?
Those are great questions. And you can use a smaller version of the CPAP machine. I don't know if I can mention brand names, but there's some companies that have the small version of the CPAP machine that you can travel easier with it. However, you can bring your traditional CPAP machine with you. The recommendations, the new airway recommendations, are to have a separate bag with that, because it's treated as a medical device.
Oh.
So you can have one bag for your CPAP, for your mask and your tubing, your humidifier that has with the machine. And that is gonna go through the TSA screening as a medical device. So it doesn't count as an additional carry-on item, which is very important, because the airlines really have a limit, so you don't have to pay extra by being that as a separate, in a separate bag. That's very important. Other recommendations for practical use and make sure that everything goes smooth is that you bring your CPAP prescription with you. Bring a copy of that. So any questions, you can show your CPAP prescription. Also, make sure that you have a power adapter or a battery because depending on where you're going, you may need those. You may also need a cord extension, depending on where the position in the hotel room is for your to plug in your CPAP. Also important that you, if you bring in distilled water, make sure to put that in the checked bag. Don't bring that as a carry-on because there's a limit for liquid that we can bring as a carry-on. So if you're bringing distilled water, you bring that as a checked bag with your check. Or you can buy in a pharmacy locally where you're going to travel. So you can do that as well. So the recent regulations really make easy for people to travel with the CPAP. Either is a smaller version, a mini version of the CPAP, or the traditional one. You can bring those on a separate bag with the mask and tubing. They will go for TSA security, go for the screening, treat as a medical device, have your prescription as a backup plan, and also your distilled water as a checked bag. One important thing in addition to that is that if you plan to use your CPAP during the flight, you need to notify the airline 48 hours in advance so they can make accommodations for you. So if you decide to wear that during your flight, let's say you have a 18-hour flight and you're going to sleep through it, so make sure they notify your air company 48 hours in advance so they can make adjustments. And they will make sure that the type of machine that you have is compliant for in-flight use.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's... Thank you for sharing all this. A lot of information I'm not that familiar with.
I think more people need to listen to this podcast and watch the video so they know that they can wear the CPAP in the flight.
Yes, yes. So is that hard to get the airplane company to approve that? What if you only have one typical machine? You don't have a special one. Is that still possible to use it in flight?
Is it still possible to use in flight, especially the newer machines? So people that got their CPAP within the last 2 years, okay. The machines they follow more the requirements that would be for safety. So for example, one requirement for safety is that if you're using a battery to plug in, to turn on your CPAP, they'll have the fully charged battery, right? It's up to 30%. So when you notify the airline, they will give you some guidelines and they will ask for the model of your machine and make sure that the model is within their compliance safety measures. And as I said, the ones from the past 2 years are so modern that they do not affect the safety for the airlines, and most likely going to have an approval to use it.
Okay. So really just check with the airline ahead of time. And newer models are more likely to be compliant. I know the technology changed so much, but I also know how expensive the machine could be. So that's why I'm worried if someone just had an old machine or they just have the one large one, do they want to invest for a different machine just for travel? But I'm sure for people have to travel a lot, right? That's possibly an important investment to spend.
Yes, I agree with you. So people that travel a lot for work, for example, having a mini CPAP machine may be a good investment, because then they can use whether they are in flights, if they're taking long flights, or in the hotel room. And also facilitates for carrying around, because they are lightweight. They are designed for to facilitate for traveling, for packing. Also, they come with their smaller bags too. So they are really designed for facilitate traveling.
Yeah. Wow. So now I feel like the whole picture around sleep apnea is much more clear. We need to watch out the symptoms, check it out, and then really seek treatment as soon as possible to make sure we are healthy and stay healthy. And then some logistics around this. Where do people normally get CPAP machine? And it's okay to mention different brands because we are not really affiliated with any brands. I think it's more just for public information. And for my family, we only use one brand before, but I have tried different masks on the market. I don't know what's the best one, but I heard good things about certain things. And also, does the machine covered by insurance? And should people go through their doctor first, try to get the machine, or can people directly buy the machine somewhere? So I think there's a lot of confusions around that I hear from different people.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm happy to help clarify those questions. So the first thing I would like to mention is that, for example, Airflow Sleep has a system that you if you have your prescription from your physician, you can go to their website and they will specifically ask, do you have a prescription? And you click there and it's gonna guide you through the steps to share the information that you receive from your physician. The CPAP machine and the tubing, the masks, all the supplies necessary are delivered to your home and it's covered by insurance. So their website has the system embedded in that will help you identify your eligibility. So it's going to ask questions, for example, your full name, date of birth, the type of insurance that you have. And once you provide that with the CPAP prescription, they'll give you the options really and say, okay, you can get it covered by your insurance and it got delivered to your house. So I really recommend people to use a system that is built within the healthcare like this. So you can benefit from using your insurance information and also using the prescription from your physician. The other alternative is that if you don't have the prescription yet, you can also seek information about where is the sleep physicians in your area, so you can get referred to a sleep study, and then you get your prescription done, and you can go for the process. I do not recommend the people, for example, that if you go to Google search a CPAP machine and buy a CPAP machine and start using that because you really need to have an evaluation to understand if you have a mild, moderate, or severe case, what the calibration needs to be done for that machine for the type of pressure that you need, and what type of masks fits best for your face, if it needs to be a nasal mask or a full mask. So all this information, like you nowadays, we can pretty much search everything and anything and on the internet, but I do not recommend buying directly like that. Really go through your physician, get a prescription, and then with that you can request your the machine that is the best one for you.
And what you mentioned is really important is about the pressure. That's something I want to ask. In the past, because my family member was diagnosed many, many years back. In the past, I know the machine, the doctor have to ha adjust the pressure for you. And then after a period of time, you go back to the doctor, they adjust the pressure for you again. That seems like a long process, right? I heard newer machines nowadays, they automatically adjust the pressure. But does that replace what doctor can do for you? How that make prescriptions still important from doctors?
Excellent question, because the first thing to clarify about that is that people that have a mild or moderate case can be a candidate for the adjustable PAP machine, right? So instead of the CPAP, it would be an APAP, that is an adjustable positive airway pressure. And that means that this adjustable pressure will have a different pressure when the person inhale or exhale. So depending on the feedback that your body provides to the machine, the air pressure is going to be adjusted as the person sleeps. So people with a mild or moderate case may be a candidate for that. However, people with a severe case may not be a candidate. Maybe sometimes they need a continuous pressure for all the night. So that continuous pressure is going to be maintained for the whole time that they are using the machine. Mm. So both for the APAP and for the CPAP, you still need provider feedback for them. So the difference is now that with the machines being so more, the technology is so more advanced, we have reports from nightly use, and then either the physician or the physician assistant, the nurse practitioner, and their teams are going to look to those reports and make calibrations and suggestions for you as follow-up. So the process of getting your pressure adjusted, it's more continuous and more modern nowadays, that you can have that feedback from the machine and nightly reports to help stay oriented, what is the best pressure for you. So you still need to have the feedback from your provider to identify if the traditional CPAP or the APAP is going to be a good option for you. So there's also a BiPAP that is a machine that has two levels of pressure, one level for inhale and one level for exhale. And some patients will qualify for that depending on the if it is a mild or severe case of obstructive sleep apnea, and also for patients, for example, that have lung diseases and other complications in the lung and heart health, they may need a BiPAP that will be a different pressure for when they inhale and exhale. But it's a set one. So the machine is not going to adjust for the night. It's going to be a set record that the physician will prescribe for them. So there are three options, right? The CPAP, the APAP, and the BiPAP. But this to need the physician input for determining which one is the best.
Wow. Yeah. So the doctors, the physicians are still very important in this whole process to help you evaluate, to help you discuss what's the best treatment for your situation, and then continuously monitoring the progress and make adjustments for you.
Yes. And as I said, this process now is so modern and so advanced in the technology that the provider feedback, the physician and the whole healthcare team can provide feedback almost in real time, that we can see how the progression is going. And that facilitates compliance and increases the health benefits.
Yeah, great. And the website you are talking about sounds a great advantage to a lot of people too, that one place, once we get prescription, right, we just need to go to this one place to handle the next steps. I think it just sounds much easier, less hassle for people to really translate a prescription into a machine they can just start using.
Yes, and the team is really well versed in providing this type of support. So it will help you. It's kind of like having a white glove delivery, right? Mm-hmm. Because you deserve that for your health. And then the team is really well versed in help facilitating the process. So you don't have to figure it out by yourself. You can just use that as a support system.
Yeah, and I will put all the resources down in the show notes. Whoever listening, watching, can directly click it and find it. Yeah, thank you very much for the information. It's so helpful to know not only the knowledge behind all this, but also some practical tips, what we can do when we want to travel with the CPAP machine and where we can go for the next steps in this process.
Yes, it's my pleasure to share that.
Great. Any last wisdom you want to share with whoever are watching or listening?
I would say that I understand for the person that is wearing the CPAP that sometimes can be, it feels like it's a lot to wear the machine every day, to carry it everywhere that you go. I believe that in the next 5 years, the science is going to evolve even more to provide other alternatives. But for now, I want to emphasize how important it is to use the CPAP, take with you when you go for your vacation, and stay healthy. That's the best option that you can do for yourself and for your family. So I hope that those practical advice can help people to really incorporate that to their lives and stay as healthy as they can.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you. Such an important message for everyone to remember, right? Stay healthy and take these baby steps to help you stay healthy. And that's so important for yourself and for your family. Totally agree. Thank you so much, Dr. Rice.
Thank you so much, Dr. Xu. It was great talking to you again. And again, congratulations on your podcast. I'm very, very excited to be here for the second time.
Yes, welcome to come back. And I'm sure we will have you back in the future again.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. One of the most important reminders from today's conversation is that sleep apnea treatment is not just about sleeping better. It's about protecting your long-term health. And while CPAP can sometimes feel inconvenient or difficult to adjust to, many patients notice meaningful improvements in their energy, memory, mood, and overall quality of life once they stay consistent with the treatment. As Dr. Weiss said so perfectly in this episode, the CPAP machine does not take vacation. So whether you're at home, traveling for work, or taking time off with family, your sleep health still matters. Thank you for going deep into sleep with me. I'm Dr. Yishan, wishing you a restful night ahead.
Sleep is an individual thing. We all sleep differently. And there are so much we can do to improve sleep quality. Keep hope and carry on. This podcast is for general informational purpose only and does not include the practice of medicine or other health professional services. Usage of the information we share is at the listener's own risk, and our content does not intend to be a substitute for any medical and professional services, diagnoses, and treatment. Please seek professional health services as needed.